It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 24th of August, the 236th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 129 days left in 2024. Woohoo! We did it! Weren't the Olympics fantastic? Vive la France! Vive all the countries and their excellent athletes.
Sous le ciel de Paris s'envole une chanson. Elle est née d'aujourd'hui dans le cœur d'un garçon. Sous le ciel de Paris marchent des amoureux. Leur bonheur se construit sur un air fait pour eux. Sous le pont de Bercy, un philosophe assis, deux musiciens, quelques badauds, puis des gens par milliers. Sous le ciel de Paris, jusqu'au soir vont chanter l'hymne d'un peuple épris de sa vieille cité. Près de Notre-Dame, parfois couvre un drame, oui, mais à Paname, tout peut s'arranger. Quelques rayons du ciel d'été, l'accordéon d'un marinier, l'espoir fleurit au ciel de Paris. Sous le ciel de Paris coule un fleuve joyeux. Il endort dans la nuit les clochards et les gueux. Sous le ciel de Paris les oiseaux du bon Dieu viennent du monde entier pour bavarder entre eux. Et le ciel de Paris a son secret pour lui. Depuis 20 siècles, il était pris de notre île Saint-Louis. Quand elle lui sourit, il met son habit bleu. Quand il pleut sur Paris, c'est qu'il est malheureux. Quand il est trop jaloux de ses millions d'amants, il fait gronder sur eux son tonnerre éclatant. Mais le ciel de Paris n'est pas longtemps cruel. Pour se faire pardonner, il offre un arc-en-ciel.
That was none other than the great Edith Piaf singing Sous le ciel de Paris, or Under the Paris Sky, which is a big old love song to Paris. You heard that in the closing ceremony. That's how I'm feeling. Totally in love with Paris. All over again. I hope you loved the games as much as I did, which were almost all under the Paris sky. Isn't this city gorgeous?
This your girl, Bella the Bee. Stay live, stay fly, stay loving. Asheo.
Erwan Rome is off planting flowers in the country, but our colleague Cécile Pompiani is here with us to mix the show today. Thank you, Cécile. Co-chef Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, big sister.
Okay, Baby Brother, What was it like covering the Olympics? Exhausting? I'm sure, but you were also pumped up with adrenaline for 2 weeks running.
Adrenaline. Yes, I was. I managed to survive. I saw lots and lots of things. I learned a lot of things. It was wonderful. People from abroad coming with big, broad smiles saying, isn't Paris wonderful? Aren't these games fantastic? And just thoroughly enjoying themselves. It was really good to be around people who wanted to be here and wanted to really experience the wonderfulness of this city. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, and then when do the Paralympics start? In what, a week?
On the next 28th of August.
28th, okay.
So there'll be more people coming in trying to celebrate Paris and the wonderful Paralympians.
That's going to be great. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to that. So without further ado, let's get started. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, and a tasty musical dessert for you to in today's meal. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz. We'll test your memory. Way back on June 29th, I asked you a question about France's snap elections for the lower house of parliament, the National Assembly. President Emmanuel Macron had just dissolved the assembly after his party was rather severely trounced in the European parliament elections by the far-right National Rally Party. The first round of voting was on June 30th, and the candidates were, as I noted then, promising the moon to voters. You were to listen to Sarah Elzis' report on her Spotlight on France podcast and send in the answer to this question. What did the National Rally Party say they would do in July to decide what they can or cannot do as far as their economic promises to the voters? Paul, what's the answer?
As Romeric Godin told Sarah on the podcast, many of the spending proposals put forward by Bardella and the RN are predicated on an audit of the country's finances planned as of July, which would determine what can and cannot be done. That's a traditional way to say, we can't implement some of the promises we made before, because public finances aren't in order, says Godin, skeptical that the RN will be able to deliver. For Godin, the economic audit offers a way out. They can say that if the report on France's public finances is very bad, they will not do it in the autumn or at all. The fiscal information is all there. No audit is necessary. France's Cour des Comptes, the country's independent and supreme audit institution, publishes a monthly report on the country's finances. It's not a secret document, it's online, and everyone can read it. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question. What do you remember about your first day at your first job? And that was suggested by Mokhlis Uddin Mullahis from Bogura, Bangladesh. You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are RFI English listener Rafik Kondakar, who's the president of the Source of Knowledge Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh. Rafik is also the winner of this week's bonus question. He wrote, I remember well the first day of my first job 18 years ago. I even remember the day, Sunday. I'm a school teacher. My mother was still alive, and I was so frightened that first day at the school that I asked her to stay with me. But the headmaster said to me, don't worry, young man. The entire teaching staff will be with you, and they will be very friendly to you. I hope your service life will be very enjoyable. It has been. I am very happy as a teacher. Congratulations, Riaz, on your double win. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are Ferhat Bezazel, who's the president of the RFI Butterflies Club Ain Kachera in West Skikta, Algeria, and RFI Listeners Club member Hans Werner Lolica from Hedehusen, Denmark. Last but not least, there are RFI English listeners Litten Ahmed Mia from Nowgaon, Bangladesh, and Malik Muhammad Nawaz Kokar from the Sangat Radio Listeners Club in Muzaffargarh, Pakistan. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Highways across France are illuminated signboards that tell you if there's an accident ahead, to encourage you to take a break from driving, and to remind you of the speed limit. The messages change according to what information is deemed necessary for drivers. This month during the games, we read, "Remember, 130 kilometers per hour. Speed is for Leon." Why? Who is Leon or Leon? Why is speed okay for him? Again, write in and tell me who Leon is and why France would tell everyone he is allowed to be fast. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
This week's question is from RFI Listeners Club member Hans Werner Lolica from Hedehusen in Denmark, and it is: the Paris 24 Olympic Games are over, but if you had the chance to win a gold medal, in which sport would it have been?
Okay, yours, baby brother?
Speed climbing.
Really?
Sports climbing, yes.
Really?
Yep. They go up 15 meters on a 5% incline, and it was just like watching Spider-Man. Cartoons. And I can't climb very well. In fact, I'm frightened of climbing because it's safer on the ground. So I would have loved to have won a gold medal in that, because it's something that I really could not do. Running fast, I can understand, but climbing up a wall 15 meters in 6 or 7 seconds?
Oi.
6.10 was the woman who won it the day I went. 6.18 seconds, that's what she was. And she was 6.10, and the second place was 6.18.
These people are just amazing.
It was over before it started.
Yeah, exactly.
I missed it. It was brilliant. Anyway, and for you?
Ah, equestrian, for sure. Or fencing. Wait, equestrian.
How about having one of those sort of lances? You could do fencing with the lance on the horse.
There you go. I could combine. Oh, let's create that as an Olympic sport.
I used to do that jousting, remember? In the medieval days.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot.
That was kind of fencing, but it was a bit, yeah.
I forgot you were a knight in shining armor in an earlier life. But you know what, Paul? Forget the gold medal. I mean, I just would have liked to have been there.
All right.
But I didn't happen to have an extra 500 euros lying around to get a ticket.
Oh, that's cheap seats. Cheap seats.
Fear of the prices. Anyway, what about you? Out of all the Olympic competitions, in which would you like to have won a gold medal? Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for a bonus question, so please send them in. And thanks again, Hans, for the suggestion. You have until the 16th of September to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 21st of September to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. You can also text your answer to the Sound Kitchen mobile phone. Dial +336 31 12 9682. That's +336 31 12 9682. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
Epop time! The Epop video competition is ready for your videos. The Epop video competition is sponsored by the RFI Department Planet Radio, the department whose mission is to give a voice to the voiceless. Epop focuses on environment and how climate change has affected ordinary people. You are to create a 3-minute video about climate change, the environment, pollution, told by the people it affects. So put on your thinking caps and start filming. You do not need expensive video equipment to enter the competition. Your phone is fine. And you do not need to be a member of the RFI clubs to enter. Everyone is welcome. And by the way, the prizes are incredibly generous. Go to the EPOP page, epop.network/en, to read about the past competitions, watch past videos, and read the regulations for your entry. You can also write to us at the Sound Kitchen at rfi.fr2, and we'll forward your email to Planet Radio. Again, the EPOP information page is at epop.network/en. That's epop.network/en. The competition closes on the 12th of September, but as the old adage goes, time flies, so get to work now. We expect to be bombarded with zillions of entries from the English speakers.
And now more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week was suggested by Mokhlez Uddin Molahis from Bogura in Bangladesh, and it was, what do you remember about your first day at your first job? Debashish Gope, like today's bonus quiz winner, is also a school teacher, and he wrote, I was very excited to meet the students face-to-face on the first day because dreams of possibility and hope emerge in small faces. Nasir Muhammad has an academic story too, but with a twist. This is what he wrote. I was accepted to a Master's in Diplomacy program, and while I was completing my registration, I received the good news that I had been hired for a job I had applied to months back. I quickly suspended the registration and reported to the office. There, I discovered the salary was quite lower than I had expected. When the human resources person told me about the salary, I frowned, but I decided to accept it after consultation with my family members. I changed my master's study program from full-time to part-time. I worked on weekdays and went to school on weekends until I successfully completed the program.
Mubarak, Master Nasir. Boy, that's not an easy thing to do, get a master's while working full-time. I'm impressed.
Jayanta Chakrabarti's first day was, as he put it, nothing short of a disaster. My boss asked me to make a draft for an economic policy to be implemented. Fresh from university, I collected all the relevant data and put up my best ideas in flowery language. I did not know that a dampener awaited me. The stern-looking boss called me to explain that this college crap won't do in a government office. Though I am a quick learner, it took me 3 months to differentiate between college English and official English. That was also my first lesson at work, and I never looked back. Radhakrishna Pillai is a brother reporter, and this is what he wrote. My first job was as a journalist in a leading Malayalam daily. My chief and colleagues were very friendly. My chief asked me to observe and help the team doing editorial work. I did my best. That day personally and professionally changed my life.
Well, my colleagues are pretty nice too. Are you still working as a journalist, Radhakrishna?
Well, this letter will hit home with all you radio nuts out there. It's from Helmut Matt, and he wrote, The motivation for my first job was to earn enough money to buy a world receiver. I was 14 years old and I was in love with radio. It was a sunny day in early summer in 1974 when I decided to start my own business, at least temporarily, to earn enough money for my dream radio, the ITT Touring. The vacations had begun, and what could be more obvious than picking the ripe, sweet blueberries in the woods of our valley and then selling them to the then still numerous bakeries? So I set off every day early in the morning on my bike with empty baskets and buckets, drove to the cafes in the morning with the fresh harvest, and returned home at lunchtime with pocket money that was generous by the standards of the time. This went on for several weeks, and by the end of the summer, I had enough money to proudly announce to the radio dealer that he could order my dream receiver for me. My first job was also the first time I was my own boss and did something independently. I was driven by my love of radio. The feeling of being the boss myself was simply wonderful. And so let's end with Dipita Chakrabarty, who wrote, "Being a homemaker, I think my job is as important as any other job, except I do mine with more loving care. This is about my first day in the kitchen after marriage, a secret I never shared with anyone but my dear mother-in-law. I had volunteered to make an omelette for breakfast. I broke the egg, mixed it with the other ingredients, and put it directly on the hot frying pan. But try as I might, I could not offload the omelette from the pan as it had stuck so tight. Desperately, I called my mother-in-law. After a hearty laugh, she asked me, 'Did you put butter on the pan?' I was so confused, I could hardly respond. It was my first time as a cook."
Dipita, I love that. "But I understand you're a pretty good cook now. Jayanta tells me when he makes you angry, you won't cook for him as punishment, which means he rather likes your cooking. I think I may inflict that punishment on my husband. So keep in line, husbands, or you may go hungry."
Oh, learn to cook for yourselves. The ultimate bluff. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question, suggested by Hans Werner Lolliker, is: the Paris 24 Olympic Games are over, but if you had the chance to win a gold medal, in which sport would it be? Thanks again, Hans, for the question. Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at The Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating, and a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
A privilege, as always. Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Sound Kitchen on RFI.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, emails, and text messages coming. Many thanks to our colleague, Cecile Pompiani, whose lovely voice you just heard, for mixing the show, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next Saturday, the 31st of August, for the answer to the question about voter turnout in France's legislative elections. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Since Erwan is on vacation, it's music from Susan today, and I just got to stay with the Olympics. We're all still floating high from them. It can't be anything else but the magical ending to the opening ceremony. Céline Dion on the Eiffel Tower, just under the five Olympic rings, singing Edith Piaf's Hymn à l'amour, or Hymn to Love. Because it was all about love, wasn't it? What a finale. I tell you, I am one proud immigrant. De vive la France. Talk to you all next week.
Le ciel bleu sur nous peut s'effondrer, et la terre peut bien s'écrouler.
attendra mes matins. Tant que mon corps frémira sous tes J'irai jusqu'au bout du monde, je me ferai teindre en blonde, si tu me le demandes. J'irai décrocher la lune, j'irai voler la fortune, si tu me le demandes. Je renierai ma patrie, je renierai mes amis, si tu me le demandes. Si un jour la vie t'arrache à moi, si tu veux que tu sois loin de moi, et m'arrête, si tu m'aimes, car moi je mourrai aussi. Ciel bleu sur nous peut s'effondrer et la terre peut bien s'écrouler. Et ma porte, si tu m'aimes, je me fous du monde entier. Dans l'amour inondera mes matins, tant que mon corps frémira sous tes J'irai jusqu'au bout du monde, je me ferai teindre en blonde, si tu me le demandes. J'irai décrocher la lune, j'irai voler la fortune, si tu me le demandes. Je renierai ma patrie, je renierai mes amis, si tu me le demandes. La vie t'arrache à moi, si tu veux que tu sois loin de moi, et m'apporte, si tu m'aimes, car moi je mourrai aussi. Nous aurons pour nous toute l'immensité, dans le ciel, plus de problèmes, mon amour, crois-tu ?